listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Listening to Reflecting Christ's Light, and this is Nancy Polacek. Once a month, we have a show that holds up the young people, the teens and young adults in the Archdiocese that have really made faith a priority. And this is what our show during the first year of the Strategic Pastoral Plan is talking about, teens and young adults. And I am just pleased as can be to have two wonderful young adults with me today. You'll be hearing from Alex and Nick. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Nancy.
I love the way you did that. and we didn't even practice. Alex and Nick are students at Loyola University. They come to us from St. Louis, and they've done some marvelous things and been very involved in campus ministry. So we're going to find out a little bit about each of these young men, and then as the show progresses, you'll be hearing about some of the fantastic stuff that they've done. So let's just start from the very beginning. You guys both came from St. Louis. Did you know each other before you came to Chicago?
You know, I was lucky to meet Nick when I was a sophomore in my high school, DeSmet Jesuit High School in St. Louis. And we worked together in our student government there. And So that's when, you know, our bond was first made through all the work that we've done together.
Okay, so not from the time that you were little, but certainly that high school time. So are you feeling the same way, Nick? Are you glad to know this guy?
You know, every day I wake up and it's better to know this kid. We do a lot of neat things, and we have a good teamwork system down where we can do some neat things together and things that we probably couldn't do alone. So, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So when you were in a Catholic high school in St. Louis and you were looking for colleges, was there a chance that you would have ended up in different schools, or were you really searching for a place that fit both of you?
I think we were both the type of people that looked for the same thing. We both liked the Jesuit ideals coming from a Jesuit high school, and big city was definitely the thing for us. So it definitely was not an accident that we both ended up here, but we definitely didn't base the decision off of each other.
Okay.
Yeah, we weren't searching for the same school. It just so happened we liked the same things,
yeah,
which is great.
Yeah, which is why you were good friends to begin with.
Right,
of course.
So you were in a Catholic high school. Were you involved in any of the campus ministry as high school students?
Yeah, we...
And this is Nick.
Oh, yeah, this is Nick. we both had an opportunity to do one of the retreats at DeSmet that almost everybody does called Kairos, and we both went on that together. We led together, and we did other various things through DeSmet.
So Kairos was maybe a junior year experience, or what?
Yeah, junior year, we both led senior year, and then we also worked in student government together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the profound faith experiences actually happened in high school, but it was through a youth group of a parish within St. Louis. It was Life Teen based, which I don't know if you know.
Oh, yeah,
Life,
sure.
Yeah, Life Teen, designed to bring teens closer to Christ. And so he went to a parish, St. Clement, within DePere, Missouri, and I went to one in Chesterfield, Missouri, called Incarnate Word. And, you know, through those faith experiences, it brought us together as well, and we could bring those back to our high school and into Kairos Retreat for our high school. And, you know, be able to share that at DeSmet, and obviously it brought us closer together.
So those parish experiences, that was service related, that you were working with people in the parish?
It was a program designed for teens to help get them involved in faith in all aspects. So there was a lot of service work. There was also a lot of ministry work in terms of music, in terms of conferences and retreats.
Yeah. Well, you know, you guys probably don't know this, but the strategic pastoral plan in this year for teens and young adults has said that there are two critical components to what parishes should be doing for young people, teens and young adults. And one is to develop spiritual awareness in them, and preferably through retreats. And the other one is to give young people an experience of living their faith through service. So it's almost like your lives are examples of what the Strategic Pastoral Plan has said are key pieces to get somebody so strong in their faith that they want to live it, you know, past those teenage years. So it sounds to me like that is exactly what your life is.
Right. I couldn't agree more completely, Nancy. Faith and service have been themes in my life ever since, you know, I was in 7th or 8th grade, and especially from, you know, my faith that was built individually at that youth group, and then I brought it back into that service aspect that now you can't separate the two.
Mm-hmm. So was this something that came from your homes? Do you think you had exemplary Catholic families?
You know, I have to commend my parents with everything that I know and have done today, just because I know they made the sacrifice to put me through Catholic grade school, which obviously is a very important foundation. Mm-hmm. And then again, to put me through high school. And the Jesuit high school is a really good thing for me. And to be able to continue that in college, I think that faith, along with mentors along the way, service opportunities, all stemming from my parents' decision to send me to Catholic schools.
Right along with Nick, my parents would take me to Mass each weekend, and you know, as I learn more about that, I truly look back and now attribute the beginnings of my faith to them, which I'm in such gratitude to them for that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So being Catholic was instilled in the people in your family and the brothers and sisters that you have, and then you lived it out a little bit more and made it your own faith when you were in high school and had those experiences of service and the kind of like spiritual experiences of retreat. So that's why being Catholic is important to you.
You know, well, lucky for us, we had those different organizations that we could grab onto, or those retreats. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't attribute, you know, I have to attribute everything that I have right now in my faith to my parents, and then, you know, the surplus of those retreats, and I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for that. I don't know about Nick, though.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. It certainly starts with the family. I've been so blessed to have such a loving family that fosters that sense of Catholicism in my life, but also to receive people focusing on the youth. Mm-hmm. In high school, having those programs that are service-based and faith-based to help bring a community together in faith, because one of the easiest things to do is to have friends in the same things, you know, mm-hmm. to have somebody along there with you experiencing the same things and allowing you to talk about the things that you're feeling in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that Catholic experience that you know other people share with you is one way to bond with somebody, even the first time that you meet them. So today being Ash Wednesday, and you walk around campus, and I bet you see a lot of people who have been marked already with ashes. Do you think that you'll be living out your faith in a little bit bigger way over the next weeks of Lent, the next 6 weeks?
Yeah, Nick and I were thinking about something that we could do this year, first I'll tell you about something we did last year.
Okay.
Last year, we actually gave up the elevator.
Floor were you on? I have to ask that. If you said the first floor, I'm going to...
No, we lived on the 12th floor of our 19-story dorm, and we gave up the elevator. And funny thing is it took a little convincing of Nick in order to, you know, do this with me. And then sure enough, I hurt my foot about 3 weeks into Lent. And so Nick had to carry it on by himself, and I took the elevator after that.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's hold there, and we're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Lent and what's going on at Loyola after this short break. So stay with us and come back and listen to Nick and Alex.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
When a neighbor's cupboards are bare, we help. When our cupboards are bare, we need your help. The past few months have been the most difficult for families that come to Catholic Charities for food. Demand is up and donations are down. Help us restock our shelves so we can feed those in need this winter. Visit catholiccharities.net/food or call 312-655-7525 to find out how you can help.
Thanks for coming back. You were listening to John Ann Gotti's music, and the name of that song is We Will Be the Light. We chose that just because in this year of Reflecting Christ's Light, the Strategic Pastoral Plan, that's what we're doing on this radio show once a month. We're talking to young people who are reflecting Christ's light in the world. So if you heard us the first third of the show, you know that I'm with Alex and Nick from Loyola, and we just finished talking about Lent. Actually, we heard one story about Lent, but that was last year. So the guys gave up taking the elevator, even though they lived on the 12th floor, though it didn't work out for you, Alex, like you thought. But what about this year? You thinking about what you're going to be doing for Lent?
Yeah, you know, Alex and I tried something earlier on this year where we posted our Facebook statuses as something we're grateful for. And I think we're going to bring it back because with how prevalent social media is nowadays, it just seems like a good way to spread the word of Thanksgiving and gratefulness.
Yeah, we'll probably do that for the majority of Lent. And so it's great because, you know, you're putting your Facebook status and people see it and then they'll join on, whether, you know, they'll start at day one or they'll just jump right in with you. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm doing is I'm leading a group from Loyola to Nicaragua to do some service the first weekend, the week of March. And so that'll be something I'm really looking forward to about Lent. And Nick and I had both been there. We work with a group called Amigos for Christ. And it's a great group down there that helps shine Christ's light to all the Nicaraguans in need.
So was that something that you did as freshmen at Loyola? Or was that something that you did in high school?
Yeah, I first did it my junior year in high school through my youth group at Incarnate Word Parish.
Okay.
And then Nick did it. You did it last year, right?
Yeah, I got a chance to go down this past summer and spend a week down there with John Bland, the founder of the organization. And we did some really cool work with digging wells and providing water for families who don't have it.
Mm-hmm. And you're there for a week?
Yeah, I'll be there for a week. And what's great is that this is the first time that Loyola's taken a group down there. And so hopefully we'll be able to create such an interest for it that it'll be something that is sustainable, you know, once Nick and I even leave, which would be great.
Well, it sounds to me like you guys not only are paying attention to Lent, the prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I want to know if there's going to be some fasting involved, but we can talk about that at the break. But that you're instituting some things at Loyola that might have long-term results. The reason I had first heard of you is that there was a program at Loyola's, I guess it was the Lakeshore campus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This Christmas, it was called Christmas on Campus. And when I found out that it was the two of you as sophomores that created this event that reached over 100 kids from Chicago, I thought I just need to find out how this all came to be. So Christmas on Campus, why don't you just give me some basics and information about that.
Yeah, Christmas on Campus has been one of those events that has just really been on our hearts ever since we were in high school. I think it started in the University of Dayton, and then one of our teachers went to DeSmet and brought it there. And so basically what it would be is that we would bring in around 100 students from a parish within the city of St. Louis to our school, mm-hmm. and we would decorate the whole second floor hallway and lobby, and we would provide a Christmas experience. And, you know, hopefully it would be for the children who might not ordinarily have a Christmas. Mm-hmm. And since it was such a beautiful event in high school, we thought, of course, in college at Loyola, a school with the same Jesuit ideals as our high school would be perfect to bring.
But it wasn't in place until you brought it up.
No, it was not. And the best part about it is, well, first of all, it's almost entirely student run. From the kids who pair up with the inner city kids to the people who run the activities in the booths, whether it be fraternities or sororities or athletic clubs, it's almost all sustained by students. The other part we're really grateful for is every step of the way in terms of planning and moving forward, we were met with essentially open arms and people willing to help.
Really? So it was maybe your passion or your desire to do good that really inspired other people.
Yeah, it seemed great. We had all those resources just falling at our feet, and you know, probably it was because of this passion that was on our hearts that, you know, we were able to instill in other people. And like Nick said, there was just so many students that helped out. There was around 400 loyal students in the very first year.
Wow.
We had 30 different booths or stations that they would all run and choose and fund whatever Christmas activity or, you know, anything they
wanted. Okay, so give me an example of one booth and who ran it and what did they do?
All right, so one of the fraternities did a candy cane walk, which is a fun cake walk, but all of the prizes were candy canes. And so they play music and the kids would walk around and they just have a great time.
Okay, so then the kids went home with little goodies.
Yeah, and little hats that they would have made and all sorts of things.
And Nick, where did this all take place?
Oh, well, actually, this took place in the brand new Gentile Center that we have in the middle of Lakeshore Campus. We were really fortunate to be able to use it the second week it opened. It's just a beautiful gym. Wonderful seating. The concourse in which we had the event it just worked out perfectly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Things did, you know, this must have been one of those Holy Spirit moments, because when things fall into place like that, you just feel like the Holy Spirit's there.
Absolutely. We actually got feedback that some of the kids met Santa Claus for the first time, and that just brought joy to our hearts, knowing that on that event, something that we could bring to the school allowed a kid to meet Santa for the first time.
Yeah, and it actually was through prayer that we decided that this was something that we needed to do at Loyola. Mm-hmm. And so definitely Holy Spirit led, and we're so thankful for God being able to use us as instruments here at Loyola.
And where did the children come from?
Well, they came from four public schools and then one Catholic school. The public schools being Pierce, Swift, Haight, and Stewart. And then the Catholic school being St. Gertrude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you provided the transportation from the schools?
Yeah, we had funding come from the Office of Student Development in order to buy two buses for the whole day in order that the kids could get picked up at their school at their convenience and taken right back.
Wow.
Yeah.
And each one of the young people were paired up with a college student, a Loyola student.
Yeah, one of the big emphases on the day is making sure that the kid feels like he's the center of somebody's world. So we paired him up with one Loyola student, and actually most of the kids probably ended up with two. And so the day was just all about the kid. Mm-hmm. And whatever the kid wanted to do, the Rambler would follow him around or her around and go to the booth and just make sure that they're having the time of their lives.
Yeah. Wow. So a lot of people were moved by that experience. And sometimes I find that the young adults or the adults who are involved in service like that, they're the ones that receive more benefit than the ones who they're supposed to be serving. So I bet you really changed some lives in those Loyola students too.
Well, absolutely. And you're right, Nancy. Like, I knew that on that day, December 3rd, this past 2011, I would look back and I would take a step back on that day and watch everything unfold.
Yeah.
And I was the happiest man in Chicago.
Yeah.
It was
great. You know what? It sounds like a fabulous experience, but I know you're not done yet. You guys have more to tell us.
We
really need people to hang on for one more break and then come back and listen to Alex and Nick a little bit longer. So we'll take a break now.
We will be the light.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Good morning. Happy Ash Wednesday, and thanks for coming back for the last part of Reflecting Christ's Light. We've been hearing about Christmas on Campus, a wonderful event that Alex and Nick created for Loyola University. And you just got clearance about something else that's going to be happening at Loyola. What is this new thing that you're starting?
Well, we just got clearance in order to build or to take a house that's right on the outskirts of campus and turn it into a service house where, you know, we would have about 15 people living with us, living a spiritual life, but also designed to serve the Loyola community, but importantly also the Chicago community.
Yeah, and the pillars of that organization would be service, spirituality, and community. And we feel like those three pillars will provide a great model of what young people in Catholic churches and all over America can be doing to foster a sense of giving back to the greater community.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And it really fits in with exactly what the strategic pastoral plan is. So you're going to be living in community. You're going to be serving others. You're going to be raising up your or deepening maybe your faith lives, but you're going to be doing it together. It sounds perfect, so maybe you'll have to come back next year.
We'd love to do that.
Sounds great to me. Yeah.
And tell us how it works. This is what parishes are supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
For their teens and young adults, helping them develop their faith life, giving them experiences of service, and incorporating them into the life of the parish. Have you been to parishes where that's happening, or maybe parishes that aren't, and do you have some advice?
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, well, you know, my home parish, St. Clement, back in St. Louis, it does a great job of fostering the youth in their action towards service and community. As you know, the Catholic Church is built on a community, but they do a great job in terms of bringing in the youth and having programming for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the best things that parishes can do really easily is just the beginning of Mass. You know, take a time to introduce yourself to the people around you and just, you know, make it a friendly atmosphere, and that Mass is more of a communal experience now. And those sort of things just lighten the mood a little bit. And then No, we've mentioned organizations like Life Teen and, you know, the impact that it's had on us, and that can easily be brought into a parish that, you know, it can reach out to the young teens and young adults around.
Mm-hmm. But it has to start with hospitality.
Exactly.
It has to start with somebody who's young walking in the doors of a parish and feeling like they're welcomed and included. And you know what? You can't just leave that to a welcoming committee. It really needs to be the role of every single Catholic. So, you know, I'm going to take that back with me to my parish when I go to church on Sunday. Will I find one young person to welcome or to say hi to every single Sunday? So maybe that will be my Lenten resolution for the next 6 weeks, is to be a little bit more hospitable. Mm-hmm. I think those are great ideas. What are young people looking for? What are our young 20-somethings looking for in their faith?
You know, that's such a big question, but I think it boils down to a couple of things, which is community, finding other people who believe the same way and want to talk about it, and just finding fun things to do in your faith, whether it be a book club or a service trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, that are young people nowadays, they don't want something that's watered down. A lot of times they really want to be challenged, but you've got to, you know, open that door first and let them come in, and then really feel like that challenge, like maybe that challenge comes on a retreat for them. Mm-hmm. And then after that retreat, they can really dive into a more parish and mass based, you know, faith.
You know, I've heard this before, and actually in our January show, we were talking to some young people from DePaul University, and they said the same thing, that you need to have a safe space. Mm-hmm. So some place where you can go with questions, or some place where you can go and talk about your faith, and you're not going to feel like somebody is going to put you down or, you know, fight with you about it. You just want to have conversations with people who have similar thoughts and beliefs. So that and the welcoming, those are simple things parishes can do.
It's all about finding God in the little things and being that Christ's light for somebody, whether it be through a smile, a hug, or just saying hello.
Yeah, finding God in all things. Boy, you really sound like Ignatius there. You guys have been trained well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you came and came to talk to me today, especially today being Ash Wednesday. Any prayer that you want to speak out loud to our audience? Anything that you're praying for? Yeah?
Yeah, I think we have one. It's a little bit Ignatian, but I think this will it'll be great for the season. Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve. To give and not to count the cost. To fight and not to heed the wounds. To toil and not to seek for rest. To labor and not to ask for reward. I say that in knowing I am doing your will.
Amen.
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 All right. Alex and Nick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We're going to be looking for you guys in the future doing some really big things. I don't know what it is, but hopefully it'll be Christmas on campus again next
right.
year.
Oh, it sure
That's
will be.
That's the first place to begin.
All Thank right. you for having us.
Yeah, we can't wait to come back.
And we're going to talk about the service house. We're going to talk about Christmas on campus and the Nicaragua experience, because that sounds like that's going to be pretty amazing. Well, thank you so much, and we pray that everyone that is listening today has a blessed Lent, and that you're inspired to invite and welcome young people into your parish. So this is Nancy Palachek, and closing for Reflecting Christ's Light this month in February. Come back next month and listen to who the next guest will be. Thanks, guys.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.